Remember the good old days on the boardwalk or a circus or a county fair where they had a house of mirrors that gave you various distorted views of reality? I'm not sure there are many left out there. I think we have one in our bathroom. So. Real life can get that way, though, at times when we see things in a distorted way, a way other than the way that God wants us to see things. In recent weeks, we've looked at two obscure characters in the Bible, Abigail and Rehoboam, and I've now saved one of the most obscure for last. Every now and then in the Old Testament, we hear the mention of giants. Goliath is always the first giant that comes to mind. He's famous. However, Scripture refers to many other giants. There's intense debate about just who these giants in the Old Testament were and where they came from. We have to keep in mind that the genetic code of people corrupts over time. There very well could have been a gene that resulted in supersized people. But even sources outside of the Bible, including the historian Josephus, give credence to the fact that at that time in human history, there were tribes of people who exhibited characteristics of extraordinary size. There's evidence for giants in written historic accounts and records, archaeological finds, and eyewitness accounts, along with graphic depictions of giants found in ancient art. And yet, by the time the Roman Empire came to be, the average height of a Roman soldier was only 5 feet 5 inches. Today, we're much taller. So height, it seems, is all over the place throughout human history. It might be a fun exercise for you to research the topic of giants in the Bible this week. See what you come up with. The giant I will refer to today had the name of Og. Perhaps he was simple-minded and his mother wanted him to have a name that was easy to spell. But he's only mentioned a few times in Scripture. And when God delivered the Hebrew children from their bondage in Egypt, he did so with the intent of giving them a promised land, a promise that began with Abraham. All they needed to do was to trust him and obey him to receive that promise. That was reality. But there was one problem in the Hebrew children's eyes. The land that he promised to give them, though fertile, lush, and full of abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey, as it was called, was also full of, you guessed it, giants. When Moses sent spies into the land of Canaan, things didn't go so well. It was recorded like this in Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 21. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh Barnea in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. And they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. That generation, excluding Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, chose to dwell on the giants instead of God. They looked into that mirror that made the enemy seem big and God seem small in their mind. They also looked into the mirror that made them feel small, which they said, we're as grasshoppers, instead of seeing the wonderful grapes that God said belonged to them. Their worldview was like looking into a trick mirror where they saw something bigger than it really was in God's eyes. So they could not go into their promised land. They all died in the wilderness because of their unbelief and stubborn hearts. But now 40 years have passed. A new generation is ready to be led by Joshua to inherit their land. And giants were still there waiting for them. After all, since this was the best land around, it only makes sense that the biggest and the strongest people on earth controlled it. And the very first giant they came to was a giant king named Og. I like to think that Og symbolically stands for oppressive giants. Oppressive giants always want to keep you from having what God wants you to have. Some of those oppressive giants today are called fear and pride and doubt and unbelief, envy, lust, unforgiveness, and guilt. You might say that all of these oppressive spiritual enemies are descendants of Og, and they want to drag you into their house of mirrors, where they will mess with your view of reality and make your God look small and try to diminish your faith and your relationship with Him. So Og was the very first giant that Moses and the Hebrew children had to pass through if they were going to inherit their promise from God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 3, "Next we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, 'Do not be afraid of him, for I've delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon.' Og, king of Bashan, was the last of the Rephaites. His bed was decorated with iron and was more than 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide." So this passage says that Og's iron bed was 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. A cubit is roughly 18 inches. They measured a cubit from the tip of the elbow to the top of the finger. That comes out to about 13 and a half feet in length and 6 feet wide. Truly a king-size bed. Not even Mike Lindell could cover that one with his shoes. But it was Moses who went up against Og, because Og's kingdom was east of the Jordan. It wasn't officially the promised land. See, Og was the gate guard to the land of Canaan. Moses couldn't go into the promised land, but he could fight all the way up to the gates of Canaan, and that he did. Let's see how it went, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Let's read this together. I think that would be a good exercise for us. "So the Lord our God also gave into our hand king of Bashan and all his army. We struck those of them, leaving no survivors. At the time we took all the cities, there was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them.
The whole region of Argob,
Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, with gates and bars. And there were also a great many unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them, as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities, we carried off for ourselves. Og was only the first of many. The promised land was filled through and through with big and strong people. They were fierce warriors with fortified cities and great weapons. And yet God said to Joshua and the people, "This land is yours. Go take it." These fierce tribes were the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites. They were all very tall and strong, but they had to be faced. Not alone, but with God leading them and by their side. Entering into our promised land requires facing giants along the way. So what's it going to be for you today? God has blessings He wants you to have. There's a spiritual promised land for each Christian, where the believer lives and breathes the promises of God. It's a place where the promises of God are experienced in all of their fullness, and a place where we bear abundant spiritual fruit for God. The promised land is where God has called you to live as a Christian, and where God wants your heart to be. And the devil does not want you to enter the promised land, and has set hostile giants throughout the land to prevent you from taking the inheritance that God has given you. As a Christian, you must arise out of the wilderness and boldly go into this promised land and claim your rightful inheritance. As Joshua did, you need to take the mountains of giants and slay every giant in your mind and heart that has ever prevented you from living the more abundant life that God has promised. The promised land and the battle with these giants is the epicenter of spiritual warfare, and you must conquer every giant in Christ if you are ever to fulfill your purpose. So what are you going to do with the promises of God from this day forward? The giants are always crouching at the door of your heart, fueled by sin. Are you going to rule over the giants, or are the giants going to rule over you? Og represents them all. And our ultimate promised land is heaven itself. Yes, you can have heaven on earth. The kingdom of God has broken into our midst and into this world. It's a proleptic kingdom, here and not yet, all at the same time. And there are giants that stand in your way to try to keep it from you. But the greatest giant, the Og that tries to keep the entire world in fear and doubt, is called death. He is a giant that must be faced, but has been and will be defeated in your life. For your life is joined to Christ, who is a giant slayer. He has conquered the grave. He calls us to face those giants in His power. And we know that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. High up in the Rockies, between Denver, Colorado, and Salt Lake City, there's a place known as Berthoud Pass. At Berthoud Pass, you can stand in a certain spot and take a chip, drop it into a little stream with melting snow, and it will find its way down the mountainside, out over the plains of Kansas, down to Arkansas, and into the Mississippi River, and into the Gulf of Mexico, and then be taken by the current into the great Atlantic Ocean. But you can turn around and take that same chip, and just 3 feet away, you can put it in another little stream, and it will find its way down the mountainside. It will go babbling down between a canyon, and it will make its way to a larger canyon into the Colorado River. From there, it will be stuck in the wilderness because the Colorado River runs dry at a place called the Sonoran Desert. You can stop in one place. If you drop it there, it will go into the Atlantic. Or if you drop it there, it will head towards the Pacific, travel through big dark canyons, and end up back in the wilderness of drought. When Israel had their birthed past moment at Kadesh Barnea, they looked into the distorted mirror of unbelief and dropped their chip in the wrong stream. They died in the wilderness and missed out on their promised land. The next generation chose to put their chip with Joshua, and it paid off. They crossed the Jordan, received their inheritance. Their stream led to an ocean of God's blessing. So what's it going to be for you? Where are you placing your chip today? It's our birthed past moment. Will we go with the mirror that shows us the giants and grasshoppers? Or will you choose true reality with God and your grapes? Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Let us pledge to never again stagger at the promise of God, but with great faith enter the promised land that Jesus Christ has made available by his finished work on the cross. Let us demolish every stronghold of the giants and never let them roam the promised land again. Victory is yours if you only believe it. You are more than a conqueror over every giant in Christ. And let not defeat ever occupy an inch of your heart. The exceeding great and precious promises of God await you like a great treasure. Do you have the boldness to leave the wilderness and claim them? Put all your chips on Jesus. He leads you to the promised land, both now and forever. Amen.